episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
I just want you to know, before we went on the pod tonight, I did check, and there are indeed no classified documents stored in my house currently.
Yeah, that's my my co-host, Mr. Santos himself. I saw this headline that Mike Pence, they found classified documents at Mike Pence's house, and I just started laughing. I was like, and it's funny because I listened to like last night's episode of Chris Hayes, and he had a similar story. He was like, I looked down at my phone, I saw the headline, and I burst out laughing. It's like, all that shit you were talking on Joe Biden, really, just that argument has just literally been torched. Like, quite literally.
When are they going to learn? Never is the answer to that question.
Yeah.
Obviously. So. Yeah.
So, former Vice President Mike Pence. By the way, I would like to couch this story in, yes, they found documents at Mike Pence's house. I'm actually not upset by that. And no. I don't
you
think
know
it's
why?
That big
because,
of a
deal. You know why it's not a big deal? Because they didn't have to search his house. Mike Pence and his people saw everything that was going on around Donald Trump, and then they saw that, like, oh shit, Joe Biden had some stuff in there too from when he was vice president. Like, maybe we should get out ahead of this just in case. Just in case.
And they're like,
oh, they didn't. We found stuff. And hey, FBI, here you go. We found some stuff that doesn't belong to us that we have by mistake. And would you like to come in and make sure? Like, we're cool with that. Yeah. And they're like, yes, like, that's great. And they did, and they didn't find anything, and they're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah, like, I need people to understand, and I think most people, not Trump supporters, but most people realize...
Most serious people.
Yes, serious people realize now with three former, one former president and two former vice presidents slash a current president, that this is a common thing. Mm-hmm. And it is how you handle it that is the problem, not that you have the documents, right? Because
yes, like we said, I think we said this a couple weeks ago when we talked about Biden. If the story with Trump had been, hey, National Archives here, you have these documents, we need them. And Trump was like, oh shit, my bad. Here you go, National Archives. Like, it's a non-story at that point.
Yeah, like some people would make a big deal of it, but it's not a story worth a damn.
I'll give you one better. We wouldn't have even probably known about it because they wouldn't have said anything about it because they were like, cool, we got the things we needed. But because he was like, actually, these are mine. Actually, I declassified them with my brain. Actually, I don't have them. Oh, wait, I do have them because you guys sent the FBI. Shit. Like, that's
and then I gave all of them to you. And then I'm going to have my lawyer not sign a paper saying that I'm giving you all of it because they don't want to lose their license. Right. Yeah. Like, and that's the thing is Biden, I saw, what's his face? Donald Trump Jr. has been on a tear, a bender, if you will. and he's been on a real tear shitting on Joe Biden about, the documents are secured in my convertible Corvette. Like, just like making fun of like how lackadaisical his security was, right? Trying to basically be like, see, my dad wasn't wrong. You're the one who's wrong, right? No, you know, that type of thing. But that all ends because the Pence argument, and even Pence is backing our argument, which is, if you have this stuff, just give it up.
Yeah.
Like, it's not big of a deal.
Was not expecting Pence to go full. I think I saw someone on Twitter said, wasn't expecting Pence to go full I am Spartacus to help out Joe Biden here, but,
But I am Joe Biden. Like, wait a minute. but it does do something for Pence that is important. I follow the rules.
Yeah.
That is going to be, like, my guess is that will be his entire argument when he runs for president, which is hilarious. Right. I saw somebody say from the right, they were like, the deep state doesn't want Mike Pence to run for president. I'm like, what?
I'm pretty sure I would love Mike Pence to be the Republican.
Right. Like, that'd be amazing. Like, I thought the deep state was like a bunch of like secret liberals in the government. I don't think liberals are mad that Mike Pence is running for president. I think they're rubbing their hands together going, oh, this is going to be fucking interesting. I don't think liberals give a shit that Mike Pence is
really. I think what we're really thinking is, oh man, it's a shame Mike Pence has to die in the Republican primary, because that's basically what's going to happen. Like, that dude doesn't have the charisma to stand toe to toe against Trump or Ron DeSantis,
which is wild because Ron DeSantis is a
an uncharismatic freak. So
he's a charismatic vacuum, if you will. Like, old white boots over there. So listen, the Mike Pence story is a big deal because it knocks down the idea that just having the documents is the problem. That is not the problem. It is the reaction to having the documents, or when, if they're requested from you, I mean, not in his case, but if they're requested from you, you just do what you're supposed to do. So I think that's Mike Pence's whole argument, like him versus Trump. When it comes to the hard decisions, when it comes down to being, you know, president, I'm the guy who understands the rules. I am a serious guy, and I'm not going to make this into an issue that is not an issue. That's my guess.
Yeah.
January 6th, they told me to do this other thing. That wasn't within my scope. It's not legal. I follow the rules. Law and order, Mike Pence, fucking down the line. I made the decision. Might not have been a popular one. Might not even been a thing that I wanted to do, but those are the rules. And my guess is that's exactly where he's going. So, yeah, this Mike Pence thing, it only helped Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And it basically killed that entire narrative against him.
Well, you think it did. But then Elise Stefanik went in front of the press today and somehow in one press conference said Trump is being browbeaten. Okay. Joe Biden's being protected by the FBI. And Mike Pence did nothing wrong. So, like, I don't know how those things like all line up with each other. And when pushed about the Mike Pence thing, so they're like, well, you support a special counsel for Joe Biden, like, so sure you would support a special counsel being appointed to investigate the documents found in Mike Pence's place. And her rebuttal to that was, oh, but Hunter Biden.
What?
Which doesn't make any sense. Mind you, this is the third ranking Republican in the House of Representatives.
Amazing. Not a backbencher.
Yeah, an incredibly unserious person, Elise Stefanik, who has only, you know, grown more unserious. See her endorsement, or her full-throated endorsement of Congressman George Santos, the banner of which is still on his Twitter feed, I'm pretty sure. So,
they're deeply unserious. You know? Like, this entire party is just deeply unserious. And it amazes me how consistently unserious they are, right? You know what I mean? It's
Jesse Waters... Even Jesse Waters like gave up the ghost, apparently. Like he had, there's a clip of him, I think, on whatever fucking show he's on,
Fox News,
where he's just like, "Come on, Mike Pence, like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, you ruined our argument against Joe Biden," is what he said.
You screwed it up.
Right. He was like, "We had Biden on the ropes," kind of. It was like, one, you didn't at all. Two, proving that you are just a part of the opposition party. You're not a part of the facts. Like,
right.
You're like, oh, Pence, you're on our team. Like, wow, you're just really giving up, like you said, giving up the ghost here. Like, you're not even pretending. Yeah. And three, like, again, Mike Pence's move is a smart move, which is to get out ahead of it. Because if Mike Pence had taken the same position that Trump took, oh, well then, like, sparks shall fly, because that would just be the dumbest move. But he's also for the special counsel. He said the same thing about his own shit. Like,
And honestly, like, what this really shows, and a lot of people have made this point, and it's something that's been said before, but it really kind of underscores it. We probably have an overclassification problem.
Oh, 100%. Lindsey Graham even said that, and he's not wrong.
Yeah. So that probably should be looked at, because I would imagine that if Trump had stuff, and we don't know what Trump's stuff is, I'm much more worried about his stuff just because of the nature of who he is.
100%.
And what he thinks he owns. But it, like, Biden stuff, Pence stuff, I guarantee you Obama has stuff. I guarantee you that Bush Jr. has stuff. You know.
Yeah,
Dick,
today.
Dick Cheney has stuff. Like everyone's got shit.
Cheney definitely has shit.
Yeah.
Okay, like, dossiers on all his enemies, foreign and domestic. But Yeah, there's a character in the new season of Jack Ryan. I was like, oh, that's the Russian Dick Cheney. Got it. Like, it's pretty easy to understand. And he's not even like the vice president. He's just evil. But you kind of respect his abilities. But there was today, Obama, Clinton, and George W. Bush came out and were like, we don't have any documents. I'm like, don't say that. Like, don't say that, dude.
Like, did you check first? Like, are you sure?
Like, at your multiple houses and shit. Like, dude, you definitely do. All of you definitely do.
Clinton can get away with it probably, because anything that he would have would probably be
so
out of the classification period at this point anyway. Because, like, after 25 years, stuff is supposed to be declassified. So, like, unless he stole, like, nuclear secrets or something, yeah, like that, or the, might be a different story.
Or the secret behind the JFK assassination, which they are never letting out.
Well, no, that's been factually proven to be in a hidden book inside the Library of Congress. We've all seen National Treasure too, but
I have not, unfortunately.
Oh, you haven't?
That's I've never shame. Seen those. It's not
as, oh, you haven't even seen the first one?
No, I know. I know.
Yeah,
I
the first one's that. Actually good.
Okay.
The second one is fine.
Is that the one where they have to steal the Declaration of Independence? That's the first one. Yeah. I mean, you got to start high, right? I thought the second one would be just like, we're gonna ride the Liberty Bell or something. I don't know. Something fucking atrocious. And something I would probably watch. So the Mike Pence thing is a big deal, but it's mostly a big deal from a political narrative and not in the not to the benefit of Republicans, definitely to the benefit of Democrats here. You really can't say shit. You can't shit on Joe Biden and be like, nah, it's cool. It's not a big deal that Mike Pence had it. Like, the documents are either a problem or they're not. It's actually less of a problem for Joe Biden because he's president, right? Like,
it's true.
You could be like, well, hey, they were an unsecured thing. Granted, but he's president now. So, like, technically it's fine, though I don't think it is. Like, but like, if you're just working on a technicality, he's in a better position than any of the three of them.
It's a good thing Biden's taking this shit seriously, because the next time he does a press conference, like, I'm sure someone's gonna ask him about it. And if he wasn't taking this shit seriously, I can absolutely imagine Joe Biden being like just to wryly respond to a reporter's question about it. He'll be like, you know, maybe I should have declassified him with my mind and just like wink at him.
Dude, at this point, I wouldn't doubt it. Like, I wouldn't even, it's not even out of the bounds of reason. Like, he just doesn't give a fuck. And, like, that's his best asset these days is, like,
yeah.
Everybody gets all riled up and he's like, listen here, Jack, I don't give a shit about that. Like, I'm doing
pretty well. He had one of those the other day, because as he was walking out of a press conference, someone asked him about DeSantis busing migrants to Delaware or some such, and like on his way out the door, he's like, yeah, he should come visit Delaware. We've got great beaches, and then just like smiled and nodded, just like walked out the door.
Yeah, no, that's the move though. Like, never let him see you like riled up. Like, it's a much better benefit to just take it, judo that shit, and throw it right back in their face. Like, it's always a better move. You know, Obama was really good at that too, but I think in a way, Biden might be better. Honestly, because I think he also has like old man, I don't give a shit attitude, which is like, that's really working for him.
I think he could take it to a new degree just by always having his sunglasses in his pocket, so that when he makes the quip on the way out the door, he can just put them on afterwards and roll out, just be and make it that much cooler.
CSI Miami style, with an explosion, just like puns and then explosions in the background for no reason. All right, let's get serious, because this is a huge story. The Georgia grand jury decision on Trump's influence of the 2020 election are, quote, imminent. Those are not my words. That is the Fulton County District Attorney, Fannie Willis, who said that decisions are, quote, imminent. This is a big deal. It looks like Georgia might be the one to try to slay the dragon first, which I appreciate. Shout out to Georgia. They did save democracy once before. Twice, actually, if you're counting this past midterms.
Fannie Willis is basically trying to make sure that the judge in the case that's overseeing the grand jury doesn't release the you know, grand
public finding,
essentially, because she, because they're still deciding if they want to bring charges
right
against him.
Look, here's the thing. They are bringing charges. Like, there is a statement in here that she makes, and I'll read it in a second, that is incredibly obvious. They're bringing charges. Willis says, quote, "We're asking that the report not be released because you, having seen the report, decision," talking to the press, "decisions are imminent." And here's the quote that lets me know that they are absolutely bringing charges. To who? You don't know. I bet I could guess. Quote, "We have to be mindful of protecting future defendants' rights." Well, they wouldn't be defendants if they weren't being indicted, right? Like, she is referring to people who are going to be indicted, right? "We have to be mindful of protecting future defendants' rights." Well, guess what? We're about to have a bunch of new, we're about to have a bunch of defendants, and so we have to do what's right by them so that future defendants will get treated the same way. She is referring to there will be indictments. People are going to be in serious trouble. Rudy Giuliani is 100% one of those people. 100%. These, I believe it's 20 fake electors. They are in a world of trouble. Let me see if I can find the exact number. Over a dozen. Over a dozen so-called fake electors. As we've said a long time ago, and I will keep saying that, if you want to get these guys, these are the people to roll up.
Yeah, these roll, are, up, these roll are, up the bottom and roll it up to the top. So.
Right. Like, you use the fake electors to get to Rudy. You use Rudy to get to Trump. That's it. It's easy.
Rudy Giuliani. And or to Mark Meadows, which you can also,
also
do to get there as well. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think those fake electors are going to, they're gonna feel that shit. Because basically they said, listen, if these people are found guilty, they're doing like serious jail time. Like, they're not fucking around. That's a good thing. Do I think that Trump will be indicted? Yes. Yeah. I think given the opportunity to do this, I think Fannie Willis is going to put herself on the fucking map. 100%. Yeah. And not just because, like, to do it just to be famous, but she's got complete justification. Like, it's not, you're not just doing it to do it, but to be the DA who brings actual criminal charges against a guy who has gotten away with all of this shit during the election, it's an opportunity you're not going to pass up. You're just
not. Oh, sure. Yeah. And again, like, it's a no-lose situation for her, because this could just lead to potentially bigger and better things, especially if she's successful. Like, if she charged him, she wins. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Let's clear out a fucking U.S. Attorney's office for you, my dear.
Yeah. You're going to the show. You can guarantee that. Look, I think this is a big deal. Willis said the allegations are very serious. If indicted and convicted, people are facing prison sentences. Look, I love New York. I think it's a great city. State, I could take it or leave it. But as a city, I think it's a great city. But they're too close to Trump. Trump has been doing dirty shit in that city my entire life. And he has never faced any serious consequences. I think he's too close. He's too much a New York's boy kind of guy. He's got his tentacles in so many different, I'm sure, legal offices and everything else over the last 40 some odd years that he's been operating in that city. I just think he's too close to them, that they can truly separate themselves like somebody in Georgia can, where they're like, we're not connected to the Trump empire at all. Fuck this guy. Where New York is like, well, we pull back, but like, Joe's worked with him and fucking da da da, and they helped the fucking kids at one point. Like, you're gonna always have somebody who's gonna be a little bit more, a little softer to him, because he's been there for so long. He's been involved in so much shit. You're more likely to find like conflicts of interest. You ain't gonna find that shit down in Georgia. Not likely. So, I think if there is a chance from a legal perspective, from a DA office perspective, I think you're going to get it somewhere outside of New York. I would hope, like, you got all these high-powered, badass motherfuckers in New York, but I think it is that web that he's involved in is so fucking close to them. I think it's hard to sort of extricate themselves and to get after him in the proper way that someplace like Georgia, which is also really straightforward, could get after him. Jack Smith, with his investigation about the documents, he could get after him, right? Because he doesn't have any connection to him. However, Trump's connection to the federal government is so fucking weird and nebulous and shit like that in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. That's also going to make it hard. That's why Mueller couldn't get him, right? Like, it wasn't that Mueller was incapable or had that, like, oh, weird voice. It wasn't just that. It didn't help. But it was that he's too close. And he's
I don't think that Mueller could. Well, I think Mueller's.
If Barr wasn't there, maybe he could.
I think that's part of it. I think the other part of it is that he was the president at the time. Like, I think if the Mueller team ran that investigation now, they probably would have at least recommended whether or not he should be charged. Like, they specifically punted on that because he was currently sitting as the president, and it's like, it's not our job to do that, like, because there's a Congress that can impeach him and remove him, which is shit, but
yeah,
like, that's how DOJ rocks. So
yeah. So yeah, I think Georgia is disconnected enough from him that he doesn't have any connections. I mean, the fact that he's up for this shit, potentially to be indicted over this, is because he was trying to make a connection to Raffensperger to do him a favor. He doesn't have anybody down there to do him any favors, right? He doesn't control anything, and even Raffensperger's like, no, I'm not doing that.
Well, and you know he's feeling it because. He truthed or fucking whatever he does on fake Twitter about this specifically a couple days ago.
Oh, so, really? What did he say?
Yeah. Just like, everyone knows my calls were perfect, and like back to the perfect. Ukraine shit again. Like, everyone knows, like, it was perfect, and like, I was screwed, and blah, blah, like the same bullshit that he's always on. But the fact that he brought it up for this specifically, mm-hmm. seemingly out of the blue, tells you that he's paying a bit of attention to it.
He better be. Yeah. By the way, your call was perfect. You literally asked him, like, just find me one more vote than Joe Biden has. So,
like, you're on tape. You're just like, just find 11,000 votes or whatever the number
11,870, like, I believe it was.
Yeah, like bro, we, like, that's you. like we heard you.
You know, his argument is that, like, they had lawyers on the phone. Like, they knew. Like, yes. Everybody knew what he was saying. I'm like, and you still said that? You have the shittiest lawyers. Like, not since Arrested Development.
He literally does. I mean, he probably had Rudy in the other room. He's like, is this the right room? He's like, yeah, like, it was great. Yeah.
Like, you should have asked for two more than what Biden has to really secure it. You fucking idiot.
I mean, really, he could do all of us a favor. Like, he could do everyone and himself a favor. And just, you know, die, essentially. Like, that would also be good. Like, if that could just happen, that would be tremendous.
Any day now.
To use his word. So.
it would be beautiful. It would be perfect. Look, I feel like, not that his problems will go away, but if he just said, I'm not running for president, a lot of them would go away. I think people would just be like,
and again, like, it's funny because logically that should be what he wants to do, because he's just lazy.
Yeah, just go.
And
away.
he likes to be the guy with the sway. And if he decided he wasn't running for president, then he could be the kingmaker, he thinks. Like, who knows if he actually would end up endorsing the guy that actually won, because it depends on where the party's sitting. But he would have a lot of influence over who would win the election.
Yep.
But like you said, he needs to get in that spot because he needs that aura of protection. Like, that's literally the only reason he wants to be president again, so he can have this, like, shield of protection around him.
Yeah,
from
that's it.
Facing prosecution for 4 years.
Yeah, and look, it's not a very good reason to run. It really isn't. It really isn't.
You're saying
it's not a good one. But I mean, but you can tell his heart ain't in it. His heart ain't in it. Like,
yeah.
it'll be interesting when the debates come around and everything else. But his heart ain't in it. Like, one, he doesn't use Twitter. He can't, because if you use Twitter, well, then that's the end of your fucking True Social shit. Like,
apparently, he's coming back, reportedly. So
we'll see.
So they say.
Yeah, You say a lot of things. he said he was going to get those 11,000 votes too. How the fuck out of here. So yeah, look, I think Georgia, for many reasons, I think Georgia's going to be the one to go after him. It is going to be a hell of a day when he gets indicted. It's going to be a hell of a day. First time in American history, man. Look,
if only they were forced to perp walk him. Yeah, I'm sure they'll let him surrender, but that would be awesome.
Just pushing that big fucking head into the police car. Yeah. Absolutely. I would love it.
Do you think he would answer the arrest warrant? Like if they put out a warrant for him in conjunction with this and be like, hey, you can come surrender yourself.
No way.
He'd be like, fuck you, I'm staying in, like my best friend Ron DeSantis won't extradite me to Georgia.
Georgia. That would be hilarious if Ron DeSantis was like, I will do that. Actually, come and get him, boys.
Great.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does once he's indicted. Like, all right, how much of a big man are you? Like, okay, you just gonna ignore the shit? Wouldn't recommend it, but like, okay. Like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna just, how are you going to win an election in Georgia if you're like afraid to go there? You know, although, I mean, I guess those nutcases will vote for you anyway, who'd support you. But,
that's right.
You know, we'll see. We'll see.
Speaking of winning elections in Georgia, where's our boy Herschel been since the election? Where'd he go?
My man's got abortions to pay for. Like,
probably back to Texas. He's 100%. Like, I don't need to stay here anymore.
Yeah. I hate this shithole. I'm out of here.
It is just funny how we haven't heard a fucking peep from him since
not a peep
since the runoff.
Remember how Lindsey Graham was like, what about young black men who would look up to Herschel Walker? Where is Herschel? Look, I'm a young black man. I need someone to look up to. Where is Herschel Walker? Where is a guy I could really, really try to sort my life out and use as an example? Dear Herschel Walker, I'm a young black man. Help me. Please. I need to know, should I be for Halloween a lycan, aka werewolf, or a vampire? These are burning questions I have. You know, I'll hang up and listen. long time following.
You should review you should somehow like shoehorn a review of the newer Fright Night movie on Black on Black Cinema and invite him on as like a special guest to help review.
No, we're doing the Nerdpocalypse. We're going to do the entire Underworld series with our guest Herschel Walker. Did you know a vampire can only be killed by a werewolf? That is not true. That is not vampire lore, sir. It's not true. So I got to tell you this next story. It's kind of clever. It's a dickish move. I kind of respect it. I got it.
Filed under the Onion article where it's like the worst guy you know made a great point.
Yeah, yeah. That image always looks like Jack. It's hilarious. He does. The guy that used to that article always looks like Jack. It's fucking hilarious. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri. Is that correct?
Yes.
Has introduced a bill that would ban members of Congress from trading and owning stocks, using the name of his legislation to take a jab at Representative Nancy Pelosi. Hawley on Tuesday introduced the Pelosi Act, or, this is not bad, or Preventing Elected Leaders from Owning Securities and Investments Act. That's not bad. It's not even that much of a stretch of a name, right? Like,
look, I always get a kick out of it when they name the bills. In clever acronyms, it doesn't matter which side it's come from. Now, again, when you have to ham fist it, then you're trying too hard. But like you said, this is not a stretch.
No, it's not
like
bad.
you could easily see it being called this. Yeah. And good for Josh Hawley.
Yeah, like I don't disagree with this idea at all.
Like I feel like you get some agreement across the aisle for this. Now, not in your own party, naturally. Like, you're not going to get anyone, like a whole lot of Republicans in the Senate that are like, yeah, let's fucking go.
Yeah,
let's,
dude,
let's cancel stocks. Like great.
I'm trying to get this money. Like, why else do you think I ran for Congress, you dickhead? Get out of here. Like, I'm not some ideologue.
Josh Hawley's one of those guys that, like, if he wasn't trying to be a douchebag, would actually be like a decent Republican, because like there's some stuff that he does bring and does, you know, right raise to the floor that are like legitimate issues that could get bipartisan support. Like he's one of the guys that's like leading the charge, like, hey, we should probably be looking at like the video game industry, because like these microtransactions are fucked up. And I'm like, yes, they are, Josh Hawley. Like, go ahead. Like go.
Brad's like Josh Hawley, 2024, let's fucking go. Just for so, this like, one issue.
Yeah, so like when it comes to stuff that he actually is passionate about, it's like he's not a dipshit. But then there's the other half of him that's like, well, I'm still an elected Republican, so I have to be a dipshit. Like it's literally bred within me.
Right, like, to be an asshole. I don't know if you guys know this. I'm in a deeply unserious party. Thus, I must do deeply unserious things.
Right, and I would like to advance through this party. So like I need to act like a complete buffoon.
Yeah, exactly. So look, I'm not mad at the Pelosi Act. Look, again, clever name, bit of a dickish move, which I support. Kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Look, do it. I don't care if you call it the Pelosi Act. I don't care if you call it something else. I can see Democrats not getting on board because they don't like the name, which to me, I don't give a shit. Look,
I don't think they would care. Honestly, I don't. Like, at least in the Senate, like, Elizabeth Warren's not going to give a shit. She will absolutely go on for this because she says the same thing. Like, she's like, yeah, like, we absolutely shouldn't own stocks. Let's go.
Yeah. And look, I got to tell you, the nice thing is Republicans see this as a dig on Nancy Pelosi. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
In history, it'll just look like this was a thing that Nancy Pelosi always supported, and that they're like, the Pelosi Act is to keep things, you know, like, on the straight and narrow. Like, it's going to eventually historically backfire on you, because no one is going to remember that Josh Hawley was just being a dick. They're just going to see the name, and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, Pelosi was for that. Because she is for it, right? Like, she changed her tune on it, so she's for it. So all that's going to come out is she's going to vote for this and be like, okay. And then you're like, fuck. Like, yeah. So I mean, look, I get it. In the short term, it helps, but
wouldn't that be some shit if somehow it were to get past the Senate and went to the House, like she jumped in front and like started championing, like, look, my Pelosi Act like says that we need to get this corruption out of Congress.
I would.
Josh was like, no, wait, you're supposed to be insulted by this.
And yeah. I'd be like, you know what? How about I co-sponsor it with you? You fucking prick. Like, yeah, no, I would stand arm in arm with that motherfucker. Like, if you're going to use my name to try to trash me, which, again, I'm not mad at, because her and her husband were definitely, you know, financially benefiting from selling stocks. I'm not going to pretend that's not true. She was against it until she was for it, right? Because basically the most liberal part of her caucus was like, this is fucking bullshit and it should end. Yeah, but like, again, judo is the name of the game here. I'd be like, you know what? You're right, Josh Hawley, and I stand with you for let's pass the Pelosi Act to stop political corruption. Fuck! Yeah. Like, yeah. Just take the wind out of his sails, man. That's what you do. Like, you don't get mad about it. You just run headfirst right into that shit. And then, you're taking away the one weapon he has. It's gonna, if they have enough votes, which I think they probably would, it's going to pass. So if you take the wind out of its sails for the dickishness of it, then you already won.
Oh, there's no way there's enough votes to get this passed. Are you kidding me?
You don't think so?
Oh, no. Or, like not only because Republicans wouldn't go for it, there's plenty of Democrats as well that would be like, I like trading stocks, actually. Like, it's great.
Do you know how much money I get?
Do you know how much money I've made since I've been in Congress? Like, this is amazing.
What's the dude who's like the richest guy in Congress? Was Daryl Issa? I think he's like the richest guy in the House. Where he was?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Dude was like trading stocks like a motherfucker. Like, he was like a day trader. Like, let's get that fucking money. It's like, yeah, you want to sign on to this? Hell no. This idea sucks. I hate it. I hate that Josh
Hawley. Carpet-bagging asshole.
Oh, he's such a piece of shit.
He literally got voted out of his like district that he was representing, so he just like moved districts. Like, he moved two districts over to a more Republican district, and he's like, "Now fuck it, I'm running again." And they voted him back in.
That guy lived not too far. His district was not too far from where I used to live, and I got to tell you, it's not his district was not sending their best. Okay, no, they were not. Speaking of not sending your best, Florida man, Ron DeSantis, Florida's Ron DeSantis rejects a Black history course. College AP extra credit course, I might add. Like, that is an important thing to understand. This is not being taught the College Board's Advanced Placement African-American Studies course. This is not being taught to, like, fourth graders. Like, it's not. This is being taught to high schoolers who are at very high advanced levels, who could take this class. If they score high enough, they could actually get college credit. You know, a course I would have never been able to do. So I was very lazy in high school. So Ron DeSantis basically said, listen, Florida is rejecting this, right? Like, the College Board has written this curriculum, and they basically allow it nationwide. If you are a high school that wants to adopt this, or you're rather a state that wants to adopt this into your high school courses as an advanced option for some of your students, you're allowed to do that. Florida's like, nah, we're not doing that. It's got Black in the title. Fuck all that. Like, scary.
Well, they're saying it violates the Stop Woke Act that they signed last year.
Yes,
because it defines people. It's instruction that defines people as necessarily oppressed or privileged based on their race. Because, of course, that has never happened in U.S. history. So we can't have any you know, classes that are
based around that. No, you don't want to let people learn shit. They are for education, not indoctrination.
Here's my favorite quote on this from him, though. And I want you to listen to the quote and make sure you pay special attention to the last line and then laugh at it when you realize how funny it is. Says, this course on Black history, what's one of the lessons about? Queer theory. Now, who would say that an important part of Black history is queer theory? That is someone who's pushing an agenda, says Ron DeSantis, a potential 2024 presidential nominee.
Pushing a massive agenda.
Right now.
Here's the thing, Ron DeSantis. I've come to a point in my life that I am desperately trying to understand other people's perspectives, right? I try not to go, what an idiot, you know, how could you not know this, right? I don't know where people are coming from. I don't know where their education level is. I don't know what they're ignorant about or what they know. So let me spell it out. Ron, some Black people are also queer. I don't know if that is important to you to understand, but like, queer theory is not just about gay white kids that you don't like or gay older white people that you don't like. Queer theory is intersectionality, dude. Like, the whole point of certain groups in queer theory or that are discussing queer theory, and I'm not a queer theory expert. I'm not in that community at all. But I am basically educated. Like, and I've lived in the world.
I think you lost him when you said intersectionality, because I think at that point he's off the map. He's like,
he was like, we're not talking about sex. We're not talking about sex.
Talking about roads, Jay. Like, I don't care what's going on at a stoplight. Like, we're talking about
queer theory and how evil it is. Like, this fucking guy, right? So it's about intersectionality, and there are people who are both Black and a part of the queer community that intersectionality between those two groups is incredibly important to their perspective in American history. Look, I just finished reading a fucking book, and I want to read all of his books, and because I think he's a brilliant person, one of the my personal favorite person in the civil rights movement, James Baldwin, Black and gay, he is a prime example of a person who crosses both of those lines. Who he is isn't just defined by him being Black, and it isn't just defined by him being gay. It's not just those two things either, right? Like, there is a level of intersectionality. You can't talk about those people as a full spectrum of who they are in American society, in the civil rights movement, and things like that by just ignoring a half of them or a major aspect of them. So, yeah, this sounds like someone's doing an agenda. Yeah, because you only label people in these dumb blocks of Black, gay. Like, dude, people span multiple categories. They do. So it's not.
I mean, Ron DeSantis has intersectionality. He's white. He's male. He's Republican. He's a douchebag. Like, he crosses a lot of different categories.
I mean, that's like two buckets, though, Brad. Like,
that's true. That's true.
One can maybe argue even one. Like a big douchey bucket, right? But yeah, I mean, like, this idea of like it's a secret move to get in like queer, you know, queer theory. It doesn't have to be. Like, yeah. Black people are all like, this is why. This is the argument. I can't believe I'm saying this, and this is fucking sad to even say out loud. But Ron DeSantis and Dave Chappelle are on the same side of this shit, right? Dave Chappelle shitting on trans people can't understand why black people would be getting mad. Because black trans people exist, dude. Like, black trans women get murdered at an exponential rate, like, you know, comparative to, you know, white trans you know, women, for instance, right? And again, I'm not playing oppression Olympics or anything like that, but that's a real fucking problem. So when you shit on trans people and black people go, hey, dude, what the fuck is your problem? It's because they're also defending people who are black. Like, and the fact that you don't understand that isn't, I wouldn't say it's a sign of your ignorance. I would say it's a sign of your refusal to learn. Because ignorance means you just don't know something. A refusal to learn is the information is available. You just ain't fucking reading it or listening to it. That's where the two of them are. And I hate to say that, but like, yeah, yo, Dave Chappelle and Ron DeSantis are on the same fucking side.
I mean, congrats. I don't know why you hate to say it, because...
No, because I used to like fucking Dave Chappelle, man.
I know, but I mean, he's been flying that fucking libertarian flag or that, you know, like, high, it seems like, this past... couple of years.
Yeah, real fucking hard. And
fucking NIMBY Dave Chappelle, like, going in front of city councils being like, don't you dare build that shit outside my house.
Right, exactly. Well, and he's a TERF as well. Congratulations. But yeah, look, so this idea of this violating, like you said, the Stop Woke Act, is, I mean, the fact that you have a Stop Woke Act is like a testament to how deeply, deeply unserious you really are. Deeply unserious.
Well, and let's, and we've talked a lot about this on the merits, which is important to do. Now let's talk about what this is really about, which is, again, just building up his fucking anti-liberal profile so that when he eventually runs for president, like, that's, he can point to all these things. Like, look what I did as Florida governor to fucking own the libs. Like, look at all this cool shit I did. Which is why, like, when people are like, I don't know if he's going to run in 2024, I'm like, yes, he is. Like, he wouldn't be doing this shit right now if that wasn't his ultimate plan, because no one's going to remember this shit in 6 years.
Oh, that the second there is any like Democrat who wins governorship in Florida, that Stop Woke Act shit is done. It's gone. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit is done. Look, Florida's pretty fucking red at this point from a national perspective, but a Democrat could still win there.
Yeah, the right one could. I don't think it's a toss up anymore. Like, I think you'd have to find the right Democratic candidate against the right Republican candidate.
Right.
But yes, I think it's still possible for sure.
Yeah, and that shit's done. That idea of like all of this shit, like, Florida seems to be in a, like, Ron DeSantis seems to be in a, like, in a race against Texas to be the most conservative state. You know, like, openly sort of like wild law conservative. Like, there's definitely more conservative states like Utah and shit like that, but like, they don't push as many big national agendas, right? Like, just because just of their strategic size and things like that, are just, it's like, Utah's doing a thing. It's like, there's 9 people and a cow there. Who gives a fuck, right?
I don't even know if calling it conservative is the right thing. Like, I think they're both, I think the term that I used earlier is probably more accurate. They're both pushing to be the most anti-liberal states that they possibly can.
Yeah, you know what?
Because they're not pushing conservative values, they're just fighting against liberalism.
Yes. You know what? That's actually, you're right. So I think he thinks that this is the move. And he's probably right. I mean, you know, given which party he's running in 2024, he's going to need to come out with a, like, I stop wokeism in Florida. And people are going to be like, what does that mean? And he'll be like, I stopped all of it. Like, all right.
Well, and that's, and again, if somehow, if he does run for president, he's going to be a fucking insane person in the primary, because that's what you have to do to try and win. Yep. And then he's going to do what all these Republicans do when they win primaries in purple states. they turn up the insanity for the primary, and then they try to pull it back in the general. But the problem is that we have all of the statements and all the videotape of you being an insane person that we can just kind of roll back and be like, this is what you said 4 months ago. Yeah, but I didn't mean it. Like, I was trying to win a primary.
I mean, I was trying to give it to these fucking psychos. Can you blame me? I mean, my God.
Yeah. I mean, fuck, we saw perfect example of this. We saw it with, like, Blake Masters. Like, Blake Masters was on some serious, like, fucking hard right bullshit in Arizona. And then when he's like, oh, I got to actually, like, moderate to get people to get Democrats to vote for me, he's like, I didn't say total abortion ban. I said, you know, I said this.
I mean, I didn't give them the full Zig Heil. I mean, come on, Chris. It's not really my thing. So, yeah, it's...
It puts them in a weird spot for the presidency, though, because I can't remember who said it, but I think someone's like, the nation is poised, like, a normal, like, a Larry Hogan-esque, Mike DeWine-esque Republican.
Best of luck.
I'm not saying Larry Hogan himself. I'm saying, like, someone who's on the spectrum... political spectrum where Larry Hogan is. Like, that type of Republican could probably run in a general election and win easily. Like, probably easily win a general election, but they couldn't win a Republican primary is the problem.
That is correct.
That they're running into.
Yep. So they have to be nuttier. Like, that's why I'm not afraid of Larry Hogan becoming the candidate. Right. He can't get past the 20% of Trump-type people, even if Trump wasn't
running. Oh, no.
He's not crazy enough. He's not. He's simply not crazy.
I mean, uncoincidentally, Larry Hogan is going to be the Martin O'Malley of this Republican primary.
Look, man, we know how to pump out a real, like, down the line mediocre potential.
I will never forget the picture in the Iowa newspaper during the Democratic primary. That it was Martin O'Malley, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders, like, standing together, like, out, like, not in a debate, but, like, standing outside of the debate together. And the caption below said, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and unidentified man together outside of wherever they were. I'm like, damn, that sucks.
Dude, I'm a governor of a real state. Fuck you, man. Like, these two aren't even governors, man. Like, come on, I'm doing shit. Like, yeah, all right, well, unidentified man. Oh, that's fucked up. But look, getting back to the Ron DeSantis story, there's part of me that wants to be, like, very upset by this. Because it is, you know, like, yeah, he's doing it to run, running the primary in 2024 and hopefully capture the boring and dumb imaginations of the Republican Party. But then there's another part of me that thinks the state is fucked. And you guys keep voting for that.
I'll tell you why I am upset about it. And it goes back to something we've seen before with him. Here's why I am upset about it. Because one of the other things that he rolled out is, like, he's putting a freeze on, like, libraries in Florida or school, so, like, something about school libraries or libraries being able to bring in new books, like, they have to be, like, approved or whatever. Like, they're restricting, like, what books can be brought in.
Oh, cool.
And they're saying that, like, and they're threatening to punish librarians who defy this. It's teachers, actually, because it was in classroom libraries. So they're threatening to punish teachers who defy this with, like, arrest and jail time and stuff like that. And the reason that it pisses me off is because his desire to, like fucking, like, show, like, he's an arch conservative is fucking with real people's lives. We've already seen this because this happened with the voters that were formerly incarcerated that were allowed to vote in Florida, that they then were like, oh, you voted illegally, you're going back to jail. Like they're literally going and arresting people that were under the impression from the state. They're like, no, yeah, you're cool to vote. Go right ahead. And he's like, oh, no, you weren't actually, because of the X, Y, and Z, so we're going to fucking arrest you. Now, fortunately, it looks like those people aren't being charged by and large, which is good. But, I mean, just think about
how
fucked
lives.
Up that is. Yeah. Right. Just to score political points. Yeah. And you're just going to and you're just treating these people like fucking pawns in your game. And that's the shit that pisses me off. Because it is, like, it's not just it's not just rhetoric. It's not just messaging. It's not, you know, bills that are being passed that don't have actual consequences. Like, no, you are fucking with people's lives by doing this shit.
Well, I saw a blurb today that it's something like 50% or nearly 50% of families with like LGBTQ kids, and then, you know, and especially trans kids are considering leaving the state because they are that terrified of what the state will try to do to their kids, you know, separate the kids from their parents and stuff like that. Look, I got to tell you, man, if I had a child who was trans and I lived in Florida, I would move immediately. I would move immediately, because if you come into my house and try to take my kid, whoever is there from the government is getting a baseball bat to the fucking head. Like, it is what it is, man. Sorry. Get out of my house. Well, Ron DeSantis told us. Well, you tell Ron to come down here. Like, yeah. Nah, you know, like, me and you going to fight. And I'm going to be on the fucking news that night. And I'm going to be talking a lot of cash shit about you. I'll be like, I'll go to the governor's house and I will fist fight that asshole. And be like, wow, this video is going viral. Like, because that's my kid. And I'd be like, yo, I will fuck you up. I, like, straight up, I don't give a fuck. You put your white boots on, we're going to fucking tussle in front of the governor's mansion. Like, it's just, it is what it is. But, like, I get it. I get it. Like, there's no, that's not about standing tall against government and shit like that. That's your family. And you can't be, you, like, you can't beat City Hall type of shit. Like, you just cannot. So, I get it. I get it. I'm, frankly, I'm surprised that number isn't higher.
Yeah.
But that's what they want. Right. They want, oh, we got all the gays out. Right. They can't say that shit because it's too crazy. Like, that's even too crazy. But they want to say that shit. Right. They want to like, oh, we don't have any, you know, they want to be like, what was his name? Ahmadinejad in Iran. Remember when he did that, like that? He did that speech at the UN and he was like, Iran does not have any gay people in our country. And everyone was like, are you sure? And he was like, we have none. And it was like,
okay,
you know what,
cool.
Is this translator working? I think it's fucking broken. This guy sounds fucking insane.
Cool story, bro.
He's like, don't worry about it. Ironically, Iran is a place you can get trans surgery. They have no problem with that, as long as you're like,
that is weird.
Isn't that fucking strange? Your religion is so weird, man. They're like, no gay people. Hey, I've decided to change my sex. Oh, that's fine. No, that's cool. You're a man now? Then you're a man. You're a woman now? Then you're a woman. And these are the rules.
The Quran didn't say anything about that either way, so we're fine with it.
Yeah. No, but it's like, they are totally fine with that. I'm sure
I appreciate them not, like, inventing... Like, well, you know, if the founding father, like, clearly when the founding fathers wrote this, like, they truly meant, like, trans people shouldn't exist. Like, even though trans people weren't a thing back in the late 1700s. Clearly, this is what they were talking about.
As a Supreme Court, you know, as originalist, I don't see anything in it. That's right. If it's not in these two pages, it doesn't exist. Like. Dude, cars aren't in there. Like, shut up. This is my election. You shut your mouth. Yeah, transgender rights in Iran are limited, of course. I mean, it's still fucking Iran. With a narrow degree of official recognition of transgender identities by the government, but the trans individual facing very high levels of discrimination from the law, state, and the wider society. But before the Islamic revolution in 1979, the issue of transgender identity in Iran had never been officially addressed by the government. Like, they were officially recognized by the government under condition of undergoing sex reassignment surgery with some financial assistance. Like, what the fuck? Like, what planet are we on? They're like, gay people, stone them to death. Here's a little bit of money. Go ahead and get your surgery done. Yeah. Like, all right, dude. Like, it's fucking weird. But everybody has their weird fucking lines. Like, I guess
imagine Republicans getting outflanked on the left by
Iran. Yeah. In the mid-80s, they were just like, it's fucking, just go for it. Let's go for it. Fine. We got it, bro. Don't even worry about it. Like, that's fucking wild, man. Like, you can look this shit up on Wikipedia. It's crazy. I remember when I first heard that, I was like, that's not true. Like, that is impossible. And then I was like, oh shit, like, this is real. Like, okay, weird. I titled this next story, That Nutball is Pretending Not to Be a Nutball. But she is a nutball. That's the thing. Surprise, Marjorie Taylor Greene's performative rebranding is a 2024 political calculation. I don't know if you've noticed, Brad, Marjorie Taylor Greene, not as crazy as she used to be. A real, you know, reach across the aisle to other types of Republicans, not to Democrats.
I was like, wait a second. I was like, let me let you finish that sentence.
Like, yeah, get the fuck out. She's not that crazy. Like, I mean, she's an actress. She's no Meryl Streep. All right, like, let's all relax.
I mean, Kevin McCarthy's out here, like she's my BFF. Like, I'm always gonna stand by her. Like, she's a fighter.
Yeah, right.
Like, she's who you want in the foxhole with her. Like with you.
Okay, dude, crazy. She is gonna knife you in the back the second she gets a chance. Are you kidding me? In the daylight, my dude. Like, not even at night. Holy shit. Marjorie Taylor Greene has been on the mission lately to rebrand herself as a serious politician, you know, which of course implies that she was in fact not a serious politician at all, which, shout out to Talking Points memo. That is 100% correct. The MAGA aligned conspiracy theorist, congresswoman has spent, the last few weeks, figuring out that Jewish space lasers are not real. Okay, maybe I added that. Trying very hard to lean into what looks like a new public image, where she is no longer the famously far-right member of Congress who won her bid in 2020, backed by her QAnon beliefs. Her plan seems to be, as I have long suggested, she wants to be Trump's VP. This is her way of legitimizing herself as, like, some sort of real, you know, I guess the heir apparent to Mike Pence's VP spot. Has Trump decided that he's not running with Pence? Is that really?
Is that like, he
hasn't said. Surprise!
We're bringing back Mike Pence's music.
A
real blast from the past. We were hanging out the other day. Me and Mike
hanging out the other day, just like he could have been on January 6th.
I told him, I said, I don't want to have to put a noose around your neck to get you to come up on stage with me here today.
Oof, yikes. You think she's got a real chance
to be Trump's vice president or to be Trump's ticket mate?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He loves her. The fucking MAGA crazies love her.
Absolutely.
I think it would make it harder to get out of the I don't think that he would declare that she's on the ticket before the during the primary. Oh, you think so?
100% disagree. 100% disagree. I think this moment, this is the closest that Donald Trump has ever been to John McCain. This is it. He won't be able to help himself because he is going to need something to get the crazies like fucking fired up. And this is going to be the thing. When McCain was losing, he needed something to fire up the base. He got Sarah Palin. Trump needs something to fire up the base in the primary. He's going to need to make sure he knocks Ron DeSantis the fuck out. My guess is he will be the only one who fucking announces who his VP is. And everyone else is going to be like, fuck. And they're going to have to announce theirs because everyone's going to want to know who the fuck is Ron DeSantis going to run with, who is MAGA enough more than this psychopath that Trump's running with, if this is who he chooses. I think this is his Sarah Palin moment, 100%. And much like Sarah Palin, it will be the death knell for him because she can't keep the shit under wraps. She's fucking crazy, but doubly so
because it's like having two Sarah Palins on the ticket.
Yes. Yes.
like the thing about McCain is that McCain was still McCain. Like, he was still like the serious guy. Like, he was like the actual fucking front. And then, like, yeah, like you said, she was the red meat for the extreme part of the base to latch onto. You can't have two. You get two of those.
Yeah. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Like it. This is the logical conclusion. That's why he's the logical conclusion, Brad.
But that's why he picked Pence in the first election or in the first race. Because Brad, he needed someone. He needed a square to counterbalance his insanity.
Brad, Donald Trump at this point is living by the adage that Kerry says all the time. I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Right? Like, dude, he ain't there to make good points. He's there to get shielded. That's what he wants. Like we talked about earlier. He's just wants to barrel roll his way into the presidency by any means necessary. He doesn't give a fuck about courting evangelicals. Not really. He doesn't care about any of that. If he can just show a level of force in that primary, he can probably bend a lot of those people who are so-called abandoning him. He can bend them to his will.
Yeah. But again, like, even if somehow you manage to make it through the primary, you and her on one ticket, you think these moderate Republicans who fucking ran for the hills from you in 2020 are going to be like, you know, like fucking Trump Taylor Green, let's go, baby. Like, no, are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, I think this is it. I think this is it. I don't. Who else does he pick? Who else does he pick? Who's he got?
I think Kerry Lake is a possibility.
Okay, hold.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's a difference between 5 cents and a nickel, Brad. Like they're the same.
I'm not saying that she would be a more effective pick. I'm just throwing out other suggestions for you.
But she's a loser.
As far as who he'd pick.
She's a loser.
That's true.
You're a loser.
Make no doubt. Like there's not gonna be a serious person. Actually, that's not true. There's two semi-serious people, and I'm using that term pretty loosely.
All right,
I can see him picking.
All right, here we go.
So the first one is Nikki Haley.
No fucking way.
Only because he shit talked her in the past.
And, no, I think she's running for president. I think she's going to.
Oh, you think so?
I think she's going to run on her own. That's why I call bullshit on that. But go ahead.
The other person, and the only reason that I would doubt this is because I don't think he knows who she is, is Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh, I kind of want that. Like, now I kind of want Tulsi Gabbard and Marjorie Taylor Greene to run again. Like, run together. Like, the ultimate ticket. Tulsi Gabbard, that would be... I could see him doing it if he was under some weird impression. Like, if someone wrote a bullshit article, I could be that person. Mm-hmm. Like, wrote a bullshit article that Tulsi Gabbard has a massive liberal following. That he thought that he could pull Democrats away from Joe Biden. Yo, Tulsi Gabbard is not attracting any real Democrats at all. But I could see him believing that. I could see him believing that.
Yeah.
Nikki Haley, I think she's going to run. I think
will say this. I think 1000% whoever he picks is going to be a woman, because I think that he looks at that and he's like, Biden only won. Cause he had Kamala on his side, and the women want to vote for the women. So I think no matter what, he's going to pick a woman.
Yeah. I mean, that's the Republican MO. Like we just pick our copy of whatever the Democrats are doing. We don't have any fucking original ideas. Right. I mean, except they did go for Sarah Palin, in fairness. Like, they did run Sarah. I think it's going to be Marjorie Taylor Greene. I got to tell you.
I think so, too. I think she is the clubhouse leader, as they say.
Yeah, I think it's her. And here's the thing. I can't wait to watch that blow up in his face. Holy shit, dude. Because she's going to say some wild, dirty shit. She can't help it because she's as dumb as he is. She's not smart. She's stupid. Like, she's never been under that grind of the fucking media during a presidential race. Because when the media, like, turns that shit up, they're like, tell us about newspapers. What do you think? But she don't know any of that shit, dude. She ran unopposed. Her first time, fell into that office. Then she won in a fucking walkaway race in one district. She's never run a statewide race.
No.
She don't know what the fuck that's like. She's getting ready to get her fucking head knocked off, Wait till they get into your background, dude. Like, that, by the way, if you want to know the real reason why her and Lauren Boebert broke up, is because she doesn't have time for you anymore. You're a small town dummy. I got no time for you. By the way, I'm also a small town dummy, but they don't know that. We do know that. But she's trying to break up with her because she seems stupid, so she's trying to move away.
Honestly, you know, like, it's one thing, like, to have Oppo dug up on you in a congressional race, as we've seen how effective that is, especially in New York, for example. You know, how much there is to find.
Yeah.
But when you run for president, that's a whole nother ballgame. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff out there that's waiting to be dug up.
Dude, they are gonna light your ass up. Look, I'm gonna tell you right now. If Marjorie Taylor Greene is the VP candidate for Donald Trump, I'm calling it. Kreskin the magician right here. I'm calling it. They're gonna dig up some shit in her background. She 100% has said the N-word to some people, and they're gonna throw that shit in her face. 100%.
On tape.
Maybe. But I look, you know what? I'll go more specific yeah. Because she, like, that's kind of shooting fish in a barrel, like, if I'm being honest. She called Obama a nigger. I guarantee you. 100% in a conversation. Someone has that conversation in the back of their head, and they're like, yeah, no, she said that shit. And they're going to be like, boom, there it is, Washington Post. There you go, New York Times. 100%. Oh, I never said that. I would never say that. I mean, he is, but I would never say it. 100% guaranteed. Like, look, again, running for president, running for vice president is a level of scrutiny you are not ready for. Fuck. Yeah. I'm not ready for it, and I've never committed a crime. Like, mind your business. But, like, nah, she – no way, dude. Disaster. Do it.
There is one other person who I could see. And, again, like, I'm only saying this because this person's a rising star in the party, or at least they see him as a rising star, and he checks off the tokenism boxes for them.
Mm, I know what you're saying.
And that's Tim Scott. Yeah, it's Tim Scott.
Oh, Tim Scott. Oh, okay, I thought you were going to go with the dude they push for the House.
Oh, no. He's too new. Like Tim Scott. Like if Trump's gambit was like, no, I have to have someone that's like a fucking serious guy to sit
Scott
next
would,
to me.
Scott
then,
wouldn't
then
be
Tim
a bad
Scott
choice.
Would be a guy.
He wouldn't be a bad choice because, like, I'm not a Tim Scott fan, but I don't hate Tim Scott. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, as Republicans go, I'm like, come on, bro. Like, what are you doing there, man? What are you doing there? And he's like, well, I think, you know, maybe we can make progress. And you're like, you've done a couple things that are, like, pretty decent things, right? I mean, for some reason, you can't put two and two together. You keep getting pulled over in D.C. and you're a black man, and it doesn't happen to any of your colleagues.
Oh, no. He has put that together. He's
no, but he said racism doesn't exist in America, Brad. He didn't put two and two together. He put two and two and made five. Some fucking how. He was like, well, I keep getting pulled over and my colleagues don't, and I'm black equals Cheerios.
No racism. Obama fixed it.
Yeah, like, okay. Like, come on, Tim. Like, you know what the right answer is. Don't pretend to be stupid. That's worse than being stupid. No, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene right now, I think she's leading the pack.
I think if he had to pick tomorrow, it would definitely be her.
I love it. I do love it.
I mean, on the plus side, you know, like, best case scenario, were he to win the primary and she was his running mate, at least she wouldn't be in Congress after that.
That's true.
So, yeah. You know, small victories.
What is terrifying, obviously, we should talk about.
Yes, that she is. If they somehow won, she'd be a heartbeat away from the presidency.
And he's old, yo. He's old. Nightmare. Marjorie Taylor Greene as president.
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene as president. You know, I'm just like, yo, just nuke the whole country and start over. Like, we have made a lot of mistakes to get here, but she'd probably get impeached within weeks, right? Like, because she's dumb as a box of rocks, like. Like, she is. She's just
imagine, like, again, first female president of the United States history.
Dear God, no. Dear God, no. Can we please have a woman who is competent and smart?
I would like if they somehow were to win and she would be, even though she would just be the vice president, I would like beg Joe Biden. I'm like, listen, I know that you're feeling kind of sour right now. We cannot have Marjorie Taylor.
Yeah, please just resign.
The first female president. Please just resign like the week before.
Yep.
Let Kamala Harris be president so she could be in the history books. I was like, just fucking.
Please, for the love of God, please. We did it, Joe. We did it. Now, that would be a move if I were Joe Biden. 100% what I would do. Marjorie Taylor Greene would be the first president. Not today, Jack. you know what? Not today.
I'm resigning. Being, look, I'm petty as shit. Like, there's no way I'm going to allow Marjorie Taylor Greene to even possibly be the first female president. So I'm resigning. Kamala Harris is going to be president for 2 weeks.
I'm out.
She's the first female president. I'm out. Joe Biden now.
Look, you have a press conference and you just have it's just you up there. You're flanked by Elizabeth Warren, Hillary Clinton, all these prominent, Madame Albright, I think is actually dead now, but
she died.
She just died recently. Okay. Maybe not Madeline Albright. All these prominent women, Democrats and even Republicans, just get Condoleezza Rice, everyone who was actually intelligent enough to be the first woman president and be fuck that noise. We're not letting that moron, all these women, put plenty of cracks in that glass ceiling. We're not letting that jackass ride a fucking, hay barrel in here and become the president. No, I resign. And everyone's like, that is the correct.
Yeah, thing. I get it. I get it. Yeah. And then watch Republicans try to somehow annul the Harris presidency from history.
And this is not fair. All right, well.
This doesn't count.
Yeah, I believe the technical term is suck it. there's nothing you can do.
And then finally, William Henry Harrison's I'm not the shortest serving president anymore from his grave. He's like, yes.
I should have worn finally. That jacket. God damn it. It's so cold. That's fucking hilarious. That's the type of pettiness, again, that I respect. Next up, this week in Stupid, we got two stories. I don't know, Brad, have you seen this story? Okay.
I did. Right. I did, and I saw a congresswoman get on the floor today to talk about this.
Oh, God, did she cry?
Apparently this is part of the another liberal plot to cancel conservative voices in America, because we all know many major telecom corporations in the country are dominated by fucking liberals just running rampant in that.
The idea of that is fucking laughable at best. Conservative Network, you know what? Shout out to Deadline for this story. They didn't say Conservative News Network. They just said Conservative Network. It ain't fucking news. Conservative Network Newsmax has gone dark on DirecTV, and Republican lawmakers are accusing the privately held distributor of an assault on free speech. DirecTV, which is owned by AT&T and private equity firm TPG, blamed the disruption in carriage on significant fees being requested by the news outlet. One, news, news, knock it off. So,
it's not even an ideal thing. It's a rights fees dispute. I didn't hear that part of it.
Right, but it's Newsmax asking DirecTV for the fees. It's not DirecTV.
Our channel is so valuable to you. It's getting you so many more subscribers to your platform. You should be giving us more money.
We're AT&T. Fuck off. We've discussed with Newsmax on several occasions that we'd like to offer their programming. However, the network is now seeking significant fees that we would have to pass on to our broad customer base. Additionally, the same programming offered by Newsmax today, and here's how you know the PR person is a real prick. And again, I like this type of pettiness. Additionally, the same programming offered by Newsmax today is already available at no charge to 100% of U.S. households, including our customers, via NewsmaxTV.com and YouTube.com and multiple streaming platforms like Amazon Fire TV, Roku, and Google Play. So why are we paying you anything, you fucker? You fuckers.
Well, the thing is, they're pulling the free stream off later this year. That's why.
Well, that's not their fucking problem.
Well, correct, and they're saying, "Oh, we're being censored." They're like, "No, like you're literally not a rights dispute."
Yeah, you're literally not. The funny thing is, where the rubber meets the road here is that Trump's first big presidential rally is to be carried by Newsmax. So all those DirecTV boomers are not going to be able to see their favorite boy. Oh, I guess you're going to have to call your grandson or your niece or nephew and have them help you figure out how to use a Roku or Google Play. Best of luck.
I just, like I said, I love spinning this as a free speech argument, because like, it's not. I didn't realize that the founders, like, you know, guaranteed the right of every cable channel with a dream to be able to be on any yeah. fucking platform that they wanted to. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
You know, I don't know. A lot of people don't know this. Like, carved into the Liberty Bell, it's like, give me Liberty or give me Fire TV and or Roku.
Oh, this actually reminds me. This could be an addendum to the story. It has nothing to do with it, but it's in a similar vein. So, like, the dude that kicked his feet up in Nancy Pelosi's office during the Capitol insurrection, he got convicted. Good. And
fuck that guy
indeed. But his lawyer was outside the courthouse afterwards, saying that he was going to appeal the verdict because this guy wasn't judged. He has the right to be judged by a jury of his peers, and he's saying he wasn't judged by a jury of his peers. And a reporter was like, "What do you mean?" And he's like, "Well," he's like, "he lives in Alabama, and this trial was in Washington D.C. and everyone knows like the makeup of Washington D.C. is mostly liberal." And if he's to be we tried to get the venue changed, but if he's to have a fair trial, like, he needs to be judged by people who have the same ideology as him. And I'm just like, well, if he wanted to be judged by people in Alabama, maybe he should have committed a crime in Alabama.
Like, that's a terrible argument.
In Washington D.C., you fucking idiot. Alabama are not setting us their best, Jack.
No, and like. Yeah, like, that's a really poor legal argument. Like, it really is.
Incredibly poor.
Yeah.
Incredibly poor. Imagine the precedent that would create. Like, you go down to Texas and commit, like, a major crime, and then come back home, and you're like, well, I should be tried in Maryland.
Like, you know. By only my friends who agree with me.
Yeah, oh, this is okay, where I cool. live.
So. Yeah. I should be able to do crimes anywhere and just come on home. Like, no, that's, yikes. Again, just making piss poor arguments for no reason. All right, last story. Not even a story.
Yeah, I haven't seen this. Okay. I don't even know what you're going to show me, but I can't wait.
So this is footage from an anti-vax rally. So this is about 40 something seconds. This is just to end the show, just because sometimes you want to have a good time. So here you go.
You can take oregano oil. You can dilute 10 drops of oregano oil and drink that over the course of the morning and do that 10 days in a row, and your COVID symptoms will be gone. Now, if you're...
I think that's total fucking bullshit.
I honestly don't care what you think. I don't think you've done your research.
Do you understand how Dunning-Kruger works?
I don't understand how anything you refer to even makes any sense, brother. What is that?
Dunning-Kruger.
Dunning-Kruger, what is that?
So, like, the stupidest people in the room think they're the smartest.
Is your name Dunning-Kruger? Like, what are you going to come out with next? Occam's razor? The simplest explanation is that I'm an idiot?
Yes. it's funny when they stumble into the point.
Yeah, they really ran headfirst into that one. Holy shit. So funny.
Oh, good shit, man.
All right. That is it for us. We will see you guys next week for another episode of Look Forward.
Bye.